Good morning, everybody. Hallelujah. Nobody like you, Lord. All right. Well, let's get right into it. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for everything that you're doing. Thank you, Pastor Freddie, for entrusting me with this moment. Thank you, everybody who's in attendance today. I want to, as you can see, because I kind of already got it up there now, so it's a giveaway. It's not like when you're up in front of people, you kind of hide your stuff. You know, they don't see what you're about to do, but I can't hide. You all can see the scripture, and you can also see the text for this morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles available in some way, shape, form, or fashion, you can go with me to James, the first chapter. We're just going to read a couple of scriptures today. James 1, verses 2 through 4, 2, 3, and 4. Amen. And we're talking today about pure joy. So actually, I'm going to read it from a version, the New International Version, because that's going to be a little bit more fitting for how the message is presented today. So it reads, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." The way I memorized this scripture actually is from the King James Version, which tells us to count it all joy when you fall into darkness.
Yes.
That might be what you guys are used to hearing. Amen. Because Amen. We know that the trying of your faith is going to work patience, but you're going to let patience have that perfect work. Amen.
Amen.
That's what we're talking about today.
Yes,
we're talking
Lord.
About pure joy.
Pure joy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. So before we really dive into the word with the points, I want to say, I know it's not Bible study, so I can't do a full historical context or anything like that, but I just want to kind of focus in a little bit on thinking about who James is actually writing to. Amen?
Amen.
We're talking about, he's talking to people who, when they came to Christ, they were hated.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about people who were called cult members. They was constantly being called out of their name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were constantly being opposed. The opposition at times became violent. So this is who James is talking to. The ones who were persecuted by the Jews for proclaiming Jesus. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now
Amen.
These same people, they were scattered abroad. They were living as refugees. They suffered loss of homes, loss of possessions, loss of relationships. Does any of this sound familiar for the times that we're living in
right now?
They were seeking refuge, and in the place where they sought refuge, they actually began to be persecuted again.
Mm.
So this is who James is talking to today. And so he says, consider all of these trials with a joyful spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Consider it to be all joy. Consider this. So I want you to think of this as, oh, this is a good thing. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry about it. You all good.
My God.
Amen. Amen.
My God.
So, we want to hone in on that today. When he says consider our trials in a certain way, he's really talking about having a certain perspective concerning our trials, a perspective that has confidence that God, in his infinite wisdom, that he's going to use everything that happens in our life in order to work it out for good. There's a scripture in Romans 8 and
20
that says, for we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, those of us who are the called according to his purpose. Amen?
Yeah.
So
Amen.
When we have this perspective, then that's how we can have joy even in the midst of the most trying experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Swindle had a saying. He says, we cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string that we have, and that's our attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it.
Mm-hmm. Say it.
That's from Charles Swindle.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little bit ahead of myself. I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me go back. Amen. So keep keeping that in mind, y'all know I'm practical, right? So when I read this scripture, I'm like, okay, that's a good idea. Now, how are we going to do that? How is that going to play out in my life? How can I actually put this into practice? These are the things that I'm thinking, right? So first, let's talk about what are we really honing in on? Because when we talk about joy, you know, a lot of times people confuse joy and happiness, okay? So let's kind of clear that up first.
Right.
You need to distinguish between happiness and joy, because they always say that in order for you to be happy, that something has to happen, right? But joy is actually something that's already within you. Now that might be true.
Say it.
Joy is already within you, but in order for joy to really manifest itself in your life, you have to activate it. Amen. So, my sister, who I've been around just a little bit longer, you might remember the Jerry curl. And
got to have the activator.
Your hair, somebody said it. You had to get that activator. Because if you didn't use the activator, then your hair still didn't quite have the full Jerry curl look, right?
All right.
And I got some for the kids too, because you know how when they get these little gift cards and things like that for them to use for their video games and everything, there's certain little areas of the online world that they want to be able to open up. Just having the card is not enough. What they also have to have is
an activation code. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. My God.
You got to have that activation code, because if you don't have that activation code, you're not getting into that new area of the online world. So in the same way, we need to be able to activate the joy that God has already equipped us
with.
Now, how do we do that? Amen. First thing, we get in the presence of God. Amen.
Yes.
There was a monk by the name of Brother Lawrence. He was written about in this book called The Practice of the Presence of God. It's a spiritual exercise that challenges us to remain focused on God doing everyday tasks and any chore that we carry out. Because I believe as a monk, he was the chef in the monastery. And so he was always doing a lot of menial type of tasks around the monastery. So he says that we should establish ourselves in a sense of God's presence by continually conversing with him. So you just talk to him, y'all. That's all. Said whatever he was doing, he was always talking to God. Amen.
Yes.
Second Chronicles 7:14 actually tells us, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal them.
Yes.
Anybody believe that our land is in need of a healing today?
Amen.
My God.
Amen. And so we have, right? That's what I love about the fact that we have a relationship with Christ, because it's a lot of questions in this world. But by the fact that we have a relationship with God, we don't have as many questions. We actually have more answers than what we have questions. Because the Bible gives us a remedy for the things that we face in life. Amen.
So we
have a land that's in need of healing, but we got an answer for that right now. Call on him. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek his face. Turn from your wicked ways so he can do something about it. Amen.
My God.
I know God, he wants to hear from us, because he tells us to pray without ceasing. Amen.
Yes.
But let me ask you a question. Why would you want to get in the presence of God? Why would you want to do that? There's a benefit to you.
Yes.
Amen? There's a benefit to you for being in the presence of God. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy." Amen. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And we can actually start right now getting into the presence of God. I'm going to help you out. Just enter into his gates with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but when I come to worship, when I come into the sanctuary, I come ready to give God a sacrifice of praise. Amen. So you know what that is? It doesn't make a difference what I've gone through over the course of the week. It doesn't make a difference what I might have experienced. It doesn't make a difference what my thoughts have been during that time. I am coming to get into the presence of God. I'm coming to worship. I'm coming to bless you. I'm coming to praise you. I'm coming to lift your name on high. And because I'm coming to do those things, I got to get some other stuff out the way, because those things are menial. Those things don't matter. What matters is my time with you.
Lord Jesus. Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes.
So the first thing I want to do is I'm going to strip myself of myself.
Well,
but rather it's God that works in me. And that's where my focus needs to be. Amen.
Yes.
It's time for me to get rid of pride. It's time for me to lay aside every sin and every weight that's so easily able to beset us. Y'all know that scripture. It's time to get rid of all the stuff that's able to distract us from letting the main thing be the main thing. Amen. Hallelujah to his name. In a few minutes, I'm going to share with you that there's a way that you can stop those things from replaying in your mind, because I know I'm not the only one. I just talk about myself, but in case of somebody out there who's like me, I don't think I'm the only one who has these things replaying in their mind that have taken place over the course of the week, or have these things replaying in mind that I might have or I have these things replaying in my mind that somebody might have said to me, or I have these things replaying in my mind that were amen. But I'm gonna have something for you in just a minute. If y'all can hold on and walk with me, amen. We're gonna have a way to talk about how to get rid of that too, amen.
Mm-hmm.
You need to remember that your power is in his presence.
Yes,
I'm gonna say that one again because it might
go ahead.
The Zoom waiting room, and they may need to hear that. So I'm gonna say that one again. Your power is in his presence.
Yes.
You remember that there are benefits to being in God's presence. There's supernatural ability being in God's presence. So let's just think about something simple, okay? If in his presence there is fullness of joy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes.
Then wouldn't that mean that full joy is also going to equate to full strength? Being logical. I'm not trying to be super deep with y'all today. Amen. I'm just being logical. It logically makes sense. Full joy is going to equal full strength. So to me, I have a word that comes to mind when I think about full strength. I think of Samson. I think of invincibility. I think of the fact that you can't get nothing over on me. I think of being powerful. Amen. I'm in full strength. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I think of the scripture that asks, who can contend with the Lord? And if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Those are the things that I think about when I think about fullness of strength, fullness of power, fullness, hallelujah, in his presence. Glory to your name. So I'm going to do a room check. I'm going to do a room check because I want to know how many of you in the past 12 to 24 months have either witnessed or directly been able to forgive someone for some kind of injustice. I know I got some witnesses because I hear the testimony. So I know I got some witnesses today. I hear what y'all saying. So I know I've got some people in here today that understand about forgiveness, that understand about injustices. How many of y'all, so I know this is me, have erased an entire email or an entire text message and just
delete.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's me. That's me.
All right.
That's me. That's me. Because God had to show me that some of that stuff that you think you need to say, you really don't need to say.
Amen.
And to some people, maybe on the outside looking in, that might seem like a small thing, but I'm going to tell you, that is one of the biggest things that we struggle with, is keeping that mouth in order. Amen. Because we tear down so many things and so many people by the words that we use.
Yes.
Maybe I'm not in the right house today.
Go ahead.
Amen. Amen.
Speak truth.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord.
Amen. I'm going straight in because anybody can act a fool, right? Anybody can act a fool. Anybody can cuss somebody out, but not everybody can replace hatred with love.
See it?
Not everybody can replace fear with faith. Not everybody can replace divisiveness with unity.
Yes.
Not everybody can replace bitterness with forgiveness. Not everybody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that in your own strength.
That's right.
But God will come through, amen? And amen. He will allow that to come to pass in your life. Can I get a witness on that today? That one deserves a witness, amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yes.
Glory to his name. So that's the first thing we're looking at, is getting into the presence, of God. So the second thing we need to do today in order to have that fullness of joy is we need to realize the treasure of God's kingdom. Anybody who's taking notes, that would be my second point. Amen.
Amen.
First point being getting the presence of God. Second point being realize the treasure of God's kingdom. Amen. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Do you know that when you became part of God's family, you hit the jackpot?
Well, amen.
So I'm not a gambling person,
say that.
I know what it means to hit the jackpot.
Okay. Go ahead.
So Jesus said in his word, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought that field.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I don't know that I can really do justice in an adequate job with just the mere use of words on this, because I want to really try to take you through a trip to walk through my mind and see what I see and feel what I feel when I experience when I'm reading this scripture, because I have all of these realizations that come to mind. Amen. Do we really realize what a treasure the kingdom of God is? To have a man who loves me with an everlasting love. Amen. And glory to your name. To have a God who I have access to without any constraints, without any barriers. That is, glory to your name, oh God. You know, I can't go to my congressman. I can't go to my favorite entertainer. I can't go to social media influencers. They don't have time for me. I'm not on their schedule. But God always has time.
Always.
Yes.
I never have to make an appointment. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yes.
Amen. What a treasure the kingdom of God is.
My God.
To know that
my God.
He is for me and that he is more than the world against me. What a treasure the kingdom of God is. To know that I serve a God who will have mercy upon me. Lord, you will be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. He took a fatherless girl and he gave her a daddy. He took a penniless
Well.
The kingdom of God is. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I know that if my father and my mother forsake me, it's okay.
Because
God will pick me up. What a treasure the kingdom of God is. Hallelujah. And we are happy because our delight is in the law of the Lord. Like it's in Psalm 1.
Yes.
We meditate. We're like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Whatever
we do prospers. What a treasure the kingdom of God is. And that's why we have joy.
That's why we have joy.
Psalm 5:11 says, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because you Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
If I was a betting woman, and I'm not, but if I was, I would be willing to make a wager that if you have backstage passes to a concert or if you had an invitation to the White House, you would not only tell everybody that you know, but you would take pictures, you would shoot videos, you would post on social media. You might even do a scrapbook, and you're not even really a scrapbooker, but you might do that because you understand how important that moment is, right? But I'm telling you that if you do all that, and you don't allow the Spirit of God to well up on the inside of you like a fountain. Because you are in him and he is in you, then you are missing the whole point of life. My mother sent me something yesterday that I want to share with you all today. It was right on time. I had heard it before, but I want to share it with you all today. A little boy was selling newspapers on the corner, and the people were in and out of the cold. The little boy was so cold that he wasn't even trying to sell a whole lot of papers. He walked up to police and he said, "Mister, would you happen to know a place where a boy could find a warm place to sleep tonight? You see, I sleep in a box up around the corner and it's awful cold to be in there tonight. Sure would be nice to have a warm place to stay."
Jesus.
So the policeman looked at him. He said, "You go down the street to that big white house and knock on the door. And when they come out, just say John 3:16 and they'll let you in." So he walked up the steps and knocked on the door and the lady answered. He looked up and said, "John 3:16. And she said, "Come on in." So she took him in, she sat him down in front of a fireplace and she went away. The boy sat there for a while and he thought to himself, "John 3:16. I don't understand it, but it sure makes a cold boy warm." Then the lady came back and she asked him, "Are you hungry?" And he said, "Well, just a little. I haven't really eaten for a couple of days." So the lady took him in the kitchen. She sat him down to a full table of food. He ate and ate and ate until he couldn't eat anymore. And then he thought to himself, John 3:16.
My God.
I don't understand it, but it sure makes a hungry boy full.
Go ahead.
So she took him upstairs to a bathroom, to a huge bathtub filled with warm water. And he sat there and he soaked and he thought to himself, John 3:16. I really don't understand it, but it sure makes a dirty boy clean.
My God.
And got him.
And she took him into a room, tucked him into a big feather bed. She pulled the covers up around his neck, let him tuck in. And she turned off the light and kissed him goodnight.
Left
the room. And he laid there for a minute and he thought to himself, John 3:16.
I don't understand
it, but it sure makes a tired boy rest.
My God.
The next morning, the lady came back and she took him up. She took him downstairs again to that same big table full of food. He ate and she took him back to the room with the fireplace. She sat down in front of him, looked into his face, and she said, "Do you understand John 3:16? He replied, "No, ma'am, I don't. The first time I ever heard it was last night when the policeman told me to use it." So she opened the Bible to John 3:16, and she began to explain to him about Jesus. Right there in front of that big fireplace, he gave his life and his heart to Christ. And he sat there and he thought, John 3:16. Don't understand it, but it sure makes a lost boy feel safe.
My God.
Well. Yes.
You have awareness, and I'm not even talking about full awareness of the kingdom of God in its entirety, but just to understand the treasure, just to understand the value of what we have in Christ.
I don't understand
it either. How God was willing to send his son to die for me, or how Jesus would agree to do such a thing. I don't understand the agony of the Father and the angels in heaven as they watch Jesus suffer and die.
I
don't understand the intensity of the love that he had to have for me that kept him on that cross until the very end, until it was finished. I don't understand it, but I know it sure does make a life worth living. The realization of that value, the realization of that bounty of the kingdom of God is what made the woman at the well drop her bucket and go and tell everybody she knew. Come see a man who told me everything about myself. Come see him. And that same realization today is what gives us our joy. It's what gives us our peace from knowing the treasure that we have in God. Amen. The last point.
Yes, Jesus.
Only one word, y'all. Sing. And if anybody knows, you know I like to do that.
My God.
So we get in the presence of God. We realize the treasure of God. And now it's time to add music just to simply sing.
Bless your Lord.
Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him." I said just a few minutes ago that I was going to help you with silencing the voices in your head, right? So this right here, this is how you do it. So you replace those voices in your head with something else. because there's tons of evidence.
Yes, yes, yes.
That
music
will stay in your mind. You can convince me that the children don't remember these lyrics to these songs faster and easier than they remember the plot of a book or the formula for an algebraic equation. Amen.
Chalk it. Chalk it. Hmm.
I know you're a teacher, Mama, so I know you know.
Go ahead.
Well.
Because we know that's true, we need to be playing the songs of Zion in our mind.
And yes.
If you haven't already done so, I did this some years ago. I designated a Take Me Through song. Amen.
Amen.
Because as sure as the nose is on your face, let me tell you something, there's going to come a time when you need to lean on God. You need to lean on him for strength because you're facing something that is so different, so difficult, not like anything that you have ever faced before. And that day might just be today. I don't know. But you need to pick a song. Amen.
Well.
And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Yea, I will sing praises. I will sing praises unto the Lord, says Psalm 27. Pure joy through song. Mm-hmm. What you sing about is what you bring about. So don't let the enemy steal your song. Amen.
Yes.
I know that times have been different. I know that our environments have been shifted. I know that things have changed a little bit, right? But don't let the enemy take away your song. You should still be humming. I don't know if anybody had a grandma who used to walk around the house. She would always have hallelujah, glory to your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
She would always have a song in her heart.
Yes.
So I'm telling you today, pure joy is through song. The gift of God is eternal life, and that life is designed to be abundant. That's what God has for us. So I'm encouraging you today, sing. As I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed because I got a testimony. Promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. That this is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm actually surrounded by you. I want you to say the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. See, it chases me down. It fights until I'm found. It leaves the 99. And I don't deserve it, but I thank God that he still gives himself away for me. Hallelujah, that there is none like you. There's no one else who can touch my heart like you do. See, I can search for all eternity, but I still won't find anybody who is like you. Hallelujah. Sing, I love you.
Yes.
I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you cared for me. In such a special way. And that's why I praise you. That's why I lift you up. That's why I magnify your name. Hallelujah. That's why today my heart is filled with praise. Glory to your name, oh God. Sing. Today you need to activate. Activate your joy. Activate your worship. Activate your praise. Activate your blessing. Sing unto the Lord. Sing a new song. Walk in the promises that you know are yea and amen. Know who you are in God and confess his word.
And the promises
of your life are what are going to come to pass. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. And remember that you are a new creation. You're in this world, but you're not of it. And you have a future and a hope. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're no longer a slave to sin, but you are king's kid. You are God's child. Hallelujah.
You are chosen
people. You are royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special possession. You are the Lord, hallelujah, that are able to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
My God.
Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. To give pure joy. That's what we need to be doing on today.
Amen.
Activate joy that God has put down on the inside of you. He will not leave you. He won't forsake you. He'll always be with you. His promises are yea and amen. He's not going to stop. God is relentless. He will follow you. He will pursue you because he loves you.
Yes.
And he doesn't want his kingdom to be void of you.
Amen.
My God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.